Rosh Hashanah Daf Zayin Ran Vav Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom of the Gemara, starting with the words Ibayilahu. We have just concluded a lengthy discussion of Baal Te'achre Issa in the Torah that one is not allowed to delay the bringing of the carbon after having pledged to make a carbon, be it a neder, be it a dava, or many other carbonos that we've enumerated over the course of the sugya. And now we're just finishing up this one little sugya over here. Sugya is not little, but we have a little section to go in order to finish up. Ibayilahu. This is on the heels of the Gemara yesterday citing a brisa that by a bechor, so it should be offered a year after it's born. The Gemara has a technical question. Ibayilahu bechor me'emasai monim lo shana. When do we count the year? What are our options? Abai Amar Mishash Nolad. So Abai says from the day that it's born. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Mishash Nira LaHartza'a. Chita's Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is that from the time that it could be offered as a carbon. Pasuk says in the Torah, Miyom Hashmina Vahala Yeratzet. Carbon can only be brought from its eighth day and onward. So according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, the year of the animal only is begun to be counted from the eighth day and onward. So there's an 8-day discrepancy between these two shitas. The Gemara ends up pointing out, but the truth of the matter is that there really is no machlokas. It depends if we're talking about a tam or we're talking about a bamum. If we're talking about a tam, a non-blemished bechor, which obviously can now be offered on the mizbeach, so its first eligibility to be offered on the mizbeach is going to be on day 8, therefore its year is going to be counted from the 8th day. On the other hand, if it's born with a mum, so now it could be shechted immediately. So therefore, its year is going to be counted from the day that it's born. Gemara over here says, well, that's a good answer. However, there is a technical problem. Mimatzei, bamum, we're on the very top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Bamum, mimatzei achale, you're not allowed to eat a bamum. Bamum, an animal that's born, even though it does not have the kedushas bechor, and one is allowed to eat it, but there's another problem, which is that you're not allowed to eat an animal prior to 8 days old. This is based on a Gemara in Shabbos. Rashi over here quotes it. It's a issue of being a suffix nefel. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, Amud Beis, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. I'm reading the Rashi. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Shashar Shoshim Yom Ba'adam Eino Nefel Va'Behem Shmoni Yamim. In order to make sure that a person or an animal is not nefel, so you need to wait 30 days, 8 days, respectively. Then and only then are we certain that the human slash animal is not going to be a nefel. So over here, if the animal is born a bal mum, so you cannot eat it immediately for this issue. So the Gemara's response is, Dikim lebe'i shekalab lo chadashav. We know with certainty over here that the animal is not a nefel as the mother went to full term. The Gemara notes a number of times, this being one of them, that when an animal's gestation period has gone to full term, so when we no longer have this concern that perhaps the animal is a nefel, perhaps the animal will be born, is stillborn, and so under those circumstances, one would be allowed to eat the animal immediately, but only under the circumstances where you know for certain that the gestation period was a full-term period. Tanu Rabbanan. We're now on the very top of Zayin Amud Aleph, and we start with a brisa, Be'echad B'Nisan. Now, before we continue with the brisa, so let's remind each other what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us the Arba Rosh Hashanim, 4 times in the course of the year where we have a beginning, first of the 4 beginnings mentioned in the Mishnah is Echad B'Nisan. It's the first day of Nisan. And what is the first day of Nisan? So it's Rosh Hashanah Melachim L'Regalim. So it is going to be the first in terms of kings and in terms of Yamim Tovim. So last week of the Daf, the first week of the Daf, since Daf Beis up until Daf Zayin. So we've been discussing now those two aspects of Nisan. We discussed the Melachim and we discussed the Regalim. Melachim as it relates to how you date documents based on the reign of the king and how to determine what year the king is in. That's Malachim. And Regalim is the Isra Baal Te'achre, which we've been discussing now for the last 3 Dapim. Daf Dalet, Hey, and Vav. So we've discussed the issue of Baal Te'achre Regalim. Here in the Braisa, so we're going to see a couple of other firsts as well. We're going to explain each one of these firsts that I mentioned in the Braisa that are related to Nisan. And also the Gemara is going to ask numerous times, well, how come they weren't mentioned in the Mishnah? How come our Mishnah elected not to cite these as examples? So, Be'echa B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah Le'chadashim, Le'iburim, Le'truma Shkalim. 3 aspects in which Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah. We're going to go through all 3 of them, explain all 3 of them. Ve'yeshomrim Avla Schir Sabbatim. And then there's the Yeshomrim position here in the Braisa, which includes Schir Sabbatim, which we're going to explain also momentarily. Le'chadashim Minalan. So, the idea that Nisan now is the first vis-a-vis It's the first of the months, meaning that when we go through the months, as we already pointed out, months in the Torah do not have a name. The names that are given to each of the months is a historical phenomena that occurs well after Matan Torah by Galus Bavel. So the names that we are familiar with, the names of Nisan, Iyar, etc., etc., so those were all given in Bavel. Now the names happen to have stuck, and we are much more familiar with the names that are given rather than the Torah's description of each of the months. The Torah describes each month simply by a number. First month, Nisan, is just simply in the Torah described as month number one. And so now, when we know we have 12 months, and we know that each one of them has a number, so what's the number one month? So the Gemara says that's Nisan, and so it's a first. It's a first in terms of how we count the months. Gemara has a number of questions over here. L'chadosh minalim, so how do I know that Nisan is the first month? D'chziv, the pasuk says, L'chadosh hazeh lachem rosh chadoshim, rishon hu lachem l'chad shei hashana. Dabruo kol adas yisrael emor besol l'chadosh hazeh v'ichu lahem ish se laveis avos se laveis v'haya lachem l'mishmeres ad arba'a asar yom l'chadosh hazeh v'shachatu oso. So a series of psukim in the beginning of the 12th parak of Shmos, Parshas Bo, where the Torah there goes on to describe this month, HaChodesh HaZeh, and it describes what's going to be happening here in this month on the 10th day of the month and on the 14th day of the month. So it's this month, Uksiv, and we also know the Torah describes it is, it's going to be Rishon Hu Lachem, L'chad Shei Hashanah. It's the first of the months. Now, we put that together with another pasuk in Parshas Rei, Uksiv, Shmors Chodesh Aviv, Ezu Chodesh Yesh Bo Aviv. So we know that Pesach is going to fall out in a month which is Aviv, where there's going to be blossoming. So the Gemara says, what month is that? Haviyomer Zeh Nisan. So that's what we call Nisan. V'kari Le Rishon, and the Torah calls it Rishon. Good. So now what the Gemara is establishing is, by putting together the Psukim in Parshas Bo, which establishes that the month that we call Nisan, again, right now we don't know for sure it is Nisan, but the month we call Nisan is certainly described as the first of the months. In Parshas Re'eh, it also describes that this very month is going to be a month of blossoming. So now you put those two pieces of information together. So that means that the month that we're describing right now is the springtime month. Presumably it's Nisan. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Iyar. So the Gemara says, why don't we just simply suggest that it's the month of Iyar? And what the Gemara is proposing right now is that maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe the first month of the year is not Nisan the way we describe it, but rather it's the month after that. It's what we now call Iyar. So the Gemara says, Ve'ena Aviv Aleika. There's no blossoming in Iyar. Ve'ema Adar, so the Gemara says, why don't we suggest that it's Adar, where there is a little bit of blossoming at the end of Adar. So, Be'ina Rov Aviv Veleka. Now, majority of the blossoming occurs in Nisan. Midi Rov Aviv Siv, that's not what the Torah says. Torah doesn't say that you need the majority. Torah just simply says Chodesh Aviv. Ela Amar Rav Chista Mehacha. So, at this point in time, from the Psukim in the Torah itself, it does not seem that we have a clear raya that the first month of the year is in fact Nisan. So the Gemara says, let's go and attack this problem from another direction, and that is the seventh month of the year. So we know that the Torah describes that the seventh month of the year, which obviously is what we call Tishrei, but again, at this point in time, we don't know for sure which month it is, but assuming that it's the month of Tishrei, so the Torah describes the Yontif of Sukkot that occurs in this month, and the Torah also says, "Be'aspechem es tvos haaretz," you're going to be gathering. Ezu chodesh yesh bo asifa haveomer zeh Tishrei. So the month that you're gathering is the month of Tishrei. So v'kakari leishvi, and the Torah describes that as the seventh month. Ve'ema mar cheshvan. So the Gemara says again, I don't know. Maybe the gathering occurs in the month of mar cheshvan. Amai shvi shvi liyar. So what we could say is that despite the fact that the Torah describes it as month number seven, but again, month number seven is just 7 months after month number one. And maybe we were right when we proposed earlier that month number one would be Iyar. Now, we know that just moments earlier, the Gemara rejected that on the basis of the fact that Iyar is not a Chag HaAviv, but what the Gemara now is proposing is, look, based on the fact that we don't know for sure, or we can't establish for sure from the Psukim themselves which month we're describing, so it could be that the Aspechem month is in the month of Mar Cheshvan, bringing us back to month number one being Iyar. So Gemara says, "Beina asif aleika." Yeah, but there's no collection that occurs in the month of Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is a month of raining. Nobody's gathering. Everyone's going to gather before the rain comes down in the month of Tishrei. So the Gemara says that it's just simply not tenable to suggest that people are gathering in the month of Mar Cheshvan. Beima elul umay shvi shvi el adar. So again, the Gemara says, why don't we suggest that the gathering is done in the month of Elul, which means that the first month is going to be the month of the month of Adar. So the Gemara says, "Bina Rav Asir Valeika." Yeah, but that's not a month where the majority of gathering is done. Some of the gathering is done during Elul, but the majority of the gathering is done during Tishrei. So Rav Asif Ksiv, the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah doesn't say that. Torah doesn't say that we're looking for a month where the majority of the gathering is done. Amar Avina, Davizem, Mitoras Mashen, and Rabbeinu Lolamanu, Midivir Kabbalah Lolamanu, to which the Gemara says, fine, from the Torah itself, we do not have proof positive which month is the first month, which month is the seventh month. And so, but that's true, that's from the Torah standpoint, but then you open up Navi, and we're going to go through Psukim in Zechariah and in Megillas Esther. And we're going to see numerous psukim that identify not only the number of what month it is, but also the names as we describe it. So, b'yam esrim va'arba la'ashteyasar chodesh u'choreshva, the 11th month, which is the month of Shvat, pasuk in Zechariah. Rava bar ulam ha'meach ha'vatilakach esther el ha'melech achashayosh el beis machuso b'chodesh ha'asiri hu chodesh teves. And so, pasuk in Megillah says very clearly that the 10th month is the month of Teves. Truth of the matter is, we're going to go through numerous other pasuk, and we only really need one pasuk. Once we establish one month and what number it is slotted, so then obviously, simple deduction would tell us what the other months are. Nevertheless, the Gemara still cites numerous pasukim that get us to the same conclusion. Rav Kahana Mamehacha ba'arba'a l'chodesh hachi ba'kislev, pasuk in Zechariah, describing the 9th month as being kislev. Rav Acha bar Yaakov ar Mamehacha ba'ikar'u sofrei ha'melech ba'isahi, Bachodesh Hashelishi Chodesh Sivan, pasuk in Esther, back to Megillas Esther. Clearly, the 3rd month described as Sivan. Rav Ashi Amar Meacha he pilpura gural lefnei amam miyom liyom umechodesh lechodesh neimasar hu Chodesh Adar. 12th month being Adar. Viyibaytem Meacha bechodesh Avishon hu Chodesh Nisan. And then finally another pasuk in the 3rd parak of Megillah, and that is the 1st month, which is the month of Nisan. Now, the truth of the matter is that this last book, the pasuk that we just cited, seems to be the best source, meaning because the original question was, how do I know that month number one is Nisan? So we seem to have been going in a circuitous route to get to this particular point, and the Gemara is just bothered. Why do we take such a circuitous route? Why don't we just quote this pasuk from the very beginning? My time alo amre may high. How come all the other suggestions did not cite this pasuk over here? So the Gemara says, Dilma, my Rishon Lemilsa. It could just very well be that Rishon over there is not a description of the month, but the beginning of the story, the beginning of the episode, right? Haman going to Achashverosh in order to do a lottery, and maybe all the Rishon over there just simply means the beginning of that particular story, but not necessarily a description of the month. Ad Khan brings us down to the end of the establishment that Nisan is the first month of the year. Again, something that we all knew going into this particular sugya, but this is a classic sugya within the Gemara, where the Gemara just simply wants definitive proof that this is in fact so. In the Torah, you're not going to find it. In the Nevi'im, you are going to find it. Good. How come this is not mentioned in our Mishnah? When our Mishnah talks about the first that are associated with Nisan, so our Mishnah does not mention it. That's the Gemara's next question. V'tani didan bishanim kamari b'chadashim lo kamari. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is focused on events that affect the year, not the month. Meaning we're looking for annual events. The king and what year he is in his reign. So that is relevant to the year, not the month. Obviously the month is going to influence the year, but we're looking for things that affect the year. Same thing as far as regalim are concerned. So the but over here, as it relates to first month of the year, that's a monthly issue, not an annual issue. Ule Iburim. So the Gemara says the same thing as far as Ibur is concerned. So this is a brisa that was on the top of our Amud, the first that are involved in Nisan. This list that our Mishnah did not include. So the first thing we need to do is establish what is Iburim. Liburim, Minisan, Mininavat, Tiny. The Gemara says, first of all, what are we even talking about? The Gemara is assuming we're talking about adding an additional month into the calendar in order to make sure that the lunar year and the solar year get justified one with the other. As we've gone over numerous times, the lunar year is 11 days shorter than the solar year, so you do that after 3 years, that will aggregate to 33 days of a shortfall. The lunar year will fall a month behind only after 3 years of operating the lunar year without recognizing the solar year. What you have to do about every third year is you got to add another month. We're going to be discussing more of this in our Masechta. We're going to be discussing this also extensively in the first parak of Sanhedrin as well. In the meantime, however, so when are you ma'abir? When do you do this intercalation? So we know that the month that's going to be added is the month of Adar. And it happens to be that our Gemara is going to mention it in just a moment. But our Gemara discussion over here is going to revolve around when is the decision made? So ein ma'abrim Rosh Hashanah lefnei Rosh Hashanah. You do not make the decision before Rosh Hashanah. The im ibrua inu mu'ubaris. Now making the decision before Rosh Hashanah, even b'di'evit, is not going to work. Ava mimnei adchak ma'avrin oso achar Rosh Hashanah. But after Rosh Hashanah, so if it's a shas adchak, Rashi writes, shemafchina shelo yigzru nachrim, aleshe beizdin, we're worried that the government is not going to allow for us to convene our beizdin. So under those circumstances, one can make the decision to be ma'abir immediately after Rosh Hashanah. Miyad. The afal pikin in ma'abir ne'el adar. But in terms of what month we're going to add, so we're going to add the month of Adar. So good. So right now, we have no idea what this has anything to do with the month of Nisan. Meaning, we just learned together that the decision being made in order to be ma'abir, so that's going to occur at earliest it'll occur after Rosh Hashanah. And then in terms of which month we're going to be adding is the month of Adar, what in the world does any of this have to do with the month of Nisan? And why would the Braisa add it to the list? So Amar Rav Nachman, right? It's like, my Iburin, Hafsakas Iburim. So the Gemara says, as far as Ibur is concerned, we're talking about the deadline. Meaning at what point in the year is it going to be too late to add an additional month? And for that, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Ditnan, and that's a Mishnah. Hein Heidu Shema Avrin Hashanah Kol Adar. So they say, they testify to the Mishnadios. So they testified that Jew could be ma'abar the year, the entire month of Adar. Shahayu Omrin, because there were others who said out of Purim that you can only testify up until, that you can only be ma'abar, not testify. You can only be ma'abar up until Purim, but after Purim you can't ma'abar, be ma'abar the year. So first of all, the Gemara is just going to quickly establish this machlokus over here between the Shahayu Omrin, the Chachamim who said that you can only be ma'abar up until Purim, versus the Chachamim who testified that you have the entire month of Adar. So the Gemara just quickly runs through my time at the Manda Amar, the Purim Kim, the Amar, Shoalim Behilchot, the Pesach Kodim, the Pesach Shoshim Yom, Asi Lezazule Bechametz. So what's going to happen is that we are trained that once Purim comes around and we're done with Purim, so then we're Darish. We go over the Halachot of Pesach every year from Purim and onward. And so the expectation is that once we start doing that, so people will then immediately assume that 30 days later will be Pesach and will not be sensitive to the fact that maybe Beis Din will have to make a decision to be Ma'abar the Shana and add another Adar. And that means to say that Pesach is not going to be a month away, but Pesach is going to be 2 months away. And so people will be a little bit resistant to this idea just simply because after Purim, of course Pesach is coming less than a month away. And they'll be negligent in terms of how careful they are regarding chametz on Pesach on the real Pesach. The idach, and now as far as the other opinion in the Mishnah and Adios, not a concern. Mei dayadi dehashem avarta bechushban atalya mosav v'savar chushban ahuda lo salak lohu l'rabbanan ad ha'idna. And as far as the first opinion in the Mishnah and Adios, everybody knows that the year is all going to be dependent on Beis Din. And it could very well be that all the factors that were involved in making the decision to prolong the year hasn't been arrived until you got till after Purim, until the last days of Purim, until after Purim, the last days of Adar. And so therefore, and people know this, and people are sensitive to the fact that the decision to make an additional Adar could be a game time decision, and it could be made at the very tail end of Adar. Anyway, what comes out from all this is the following. That in terms of making the decision to be Ma'aber Adar, so again, after Rosh Hashanah is your first time of eligibility, but you can make it all the way up to and including the last days of Adar as well. Again, Mishnah Nadios has a Machlokus, but we're going to assume that you have the entirety of Adar all the way to the last days. And the point now that we're making is that as long as you're still in the month of Adar, you could be Ma'aber. You can add another month of Adar. However, once you declare Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so it's at that point in time now, it is simply too late. So when we say that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be a haschal, it's going to be a beginning, what we really mean to say is that regarding Iburim, it's really the end, meaning that is the deadline, which at that point in time, you can no longer be Ma'abar the previous year. So the Gemara says, V'tani didan b'haschala kamari b'hafsaka lo kamari. Now as far as our Tana, why wasn't included in our Mishnah? But the Gemara says a very simple explanation. Because our Mishnah was interested only in beginnings. This is not a beginning. This is a hafsaka. This comes to an ending point. A deadline, a conclusion in which, once the first day of Nisan rolls around, you no longer have the opportunity to be ma'aber es hashana. Ulechumash shkalim. The month of Nisan is also going to be the beginning in terms of the operating finances, the operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash. We spent almost an entire Masech discussing this very issue. Back in Shkalim, we discussed and explained how the operating budget of the Beis HaMikdash in terms of all carbon seaborne, all public carbonos, are going to be given from this year's money. This year's money is going to be the first day of Nisan, where it's the first day of the fiscal year of the carbon seaborne, the public carbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. And to which the Gemara points out, Me Nalan, how do I know this? I'm Rav Yoshi, I'm a Kroz, Osolos Chodesh Bechacho, Lechachea Shana. Beginning of Parshas Pinchas, not the beginning of the Parsha, but the beginning of the Karbanos in Parshas Pinchas. Amra Torah, Chadesh Vave, Karban, Mitruma Chadasha. Bring the Karban from the new Truma. Vigamri Shanashanim in Nisan, and we have Xer Shava. Dechsev Rishonu Lechem Lechachea Shana. So good, so the Xer Shava now tells us that just like we know that Nisan is the first month, so too is it going to be the first month in terms of operations. V'lig mar shana shana mitishrei. The Gemara says, okay, but don't we have another possibility to make another gzeirah shava? D'yachsi mireishis hashana. And the Gemara's assumption is that is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Stay tuned. Coming tomorrow's daf, we're going to go back to this pasuk and we're going to see how this pasuk may be talking about Rosh Hashanah. So danim shana sheishim achadash mishana sheishim achadash mein danim shana sheishim achadash mishana she'enim achadash. The Gemara says it's just simply a better gzeirah shava to connect it to the Shana of Nisan, because there not only do you have the word Shana, but you also have Chadashim as well. It's almost like a double bonded Gzera Shava. Masha Enke and the one to Parshas Rei, that only has Shana, but does not have the word Chadashim. Good. Am Rav Yudah Mishmol, Karbanot Sibra Abayim, Becha Benisa, Mitzvah Lahavim, and Chadash. So the Gemara quotes the Halacha in the name of Shmuel, that ideally, the monies that are used to fund the carbon seaborne have to be coming from this year's money, meaning it has to been collected specifically for this year. However, if you use last year's money, for whatever reason, let's say we don't have any monies collected for this year, whatever the circumstances were, so bidyeved, you bring money from the previous year, so you are going to be yotzei. El shechisa mitzvah. It just happens to be that it wasn't ideal, and you didn't do the mitzvah, bishle musa. Tanya namehach, the Gemara quotes a braisa, making this very point. Karbanos Sibur, habayim b'achad benisa, mitzvah lahavi min achadash. Ideally, it should be coming from this year's money, v'im hevi min ayashan. But if it came from last year's money, yatsa, you have fulfilled your obligation, el shechisa mitzvah. It just simply wasn't the ideal way of doing the mitzvah. V'yachishi is not de mishalok, sherem bavashim sul sibur. Now, let's say you have a private donation that the person wants to contribute it towards the public funds. So he may do so, but he has to be giving it to the public. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, now, isn't that obvious? Meaning, if you make a private donation, but you then give it to you give it for the purpose of carbon seabor, so isn't it obvious that it should work? The Gemara says, not necessarily. One would have thought, Lechushemov, the concern would be, as we are now taught on the top of Zion and Beis, Lo Yimserim Lechseber, Yafa Yafa. Look, as much as he's giving it to the public, he might think to himself, look, I still want my name to attach to it. In other words, it's a carbon seaborne that I still want connected to me. And maybe his transaction is not going to be a full transaction. And so therefore, it will not take on the identity of Maud seaborne, therefore not resulting in carbon seaborne. So Kamash Malan. Okay, so the Chiddush is no. That we assume that when a person is donating to the seaborne, so he's doing so b'leiv shalem. With that stated, one last question, which we probably already can guess, as this has been the question now, with all these examples that were given in the Braisa, on the beginning of Zayin Amud Aleph, the other first four Nisan, so how come this didn't make the list of our Mishnah? So our Mishnah elected not to add this to the list, because even though it is a Haskalah, it's a first. Nevertheless, we just learned together that b'di'evit, if one brings from the carbon seaver from last year's money, so you're a yotzei. So this is not as absolute as the others mentioned in the Mishnah. Actually, there are only two mentioned in the Mishnah, Malachim and Regalim, but it's not as absolute. And as a result of that, it didn't make it into our Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. Sorry, let me read the heading. So we're talking now about house rentals. And what's going on over here? So the Gemara goes on to explain Tanu Rabbanan. We quote a Braisa, Hamaske Braisa Chavera. Lishana. So let's say the rental contract says that the rental is going to be for a year. So So now what we're going to do is that we're going to count 12 months, meaning that the rental contract says a year is a year. Based on the lunar year, not a solar year, but regardless, it's a full year. But if stipulated in the contract, it says that I'm going to rent it to you for this year with the language of Shana Zu, Afilu Lo Amad Ela Becha Ba'adar. Let's say the contract started in the beginning of Adar Kim Shihi Gia Yom Echa Ben Nisan Atalo Shana. So once you get to the first day of Nisan, so this year's rentals now are up. Meaning, it was understood back in the day that the rental season was up until Nisan. Now this was this was based on their weather patterns. In fact, we're gonna make that clear in just a moment. But anyway, so as long as you're there for at least a month, and the contract read Shanazu, so therefore that means that the lease is going to be over in the month of Nisan, even though you're only there for one month. And even though you said the word Shana, but because you said Shanazu, so it's assumed now that it meant this year. Now it's true in the very beginning of our Masechta, when we talked about the kings and we talked about a king coronated one day prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Once the next day rolls around, once it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so then it's the second year of his reign. And that was only one day. And here we're talking about 1 month, but the Gemara says it's different. So it's well understood. It's self-evident. To this idea that when you rent, you're not going to be renting for less than a month. You're not going to be schlepping, you're not going to be hiring the moving. It's just not going to happen. The Ema Tishrei, so the Gemara says, fine. So now we're saying that the end of the season is the month of Nisan. So the Gemara says, why don't we say that the end of the season is Tishrei? So Stam Ki Agar Inish Beis Lekuli Mosek Shamim Agar. So the Gemara says, again, this is based on their seasons. When a person rents for the rainy season, so he's going to be renting for the entirety of the rainy season. Meaning that the assumption is that he needs shelter for the seasons of rain. And so therefore, we assume that Tishrei, which of course begins the season of rain, so we are going to assume therefore that the season as it relates to rentals is going to include the entire fall and winter, and it goes up until the spring, meaning Nisan. So the Gemara says, okay, V'tana kama d'braisa v'tana didan. Now, this idea of Schira. So first of all, even in the Brisa that we just quoted, it was only brought down as the Yesh Omrim, which means that the Tana Kama doesn't agree with it. And again, we're just repeating the same question that we've repeated all daf, and that is, why didn't it make it into our Mishnah? So the Gemara explains, B'Nisan Nami Mishkach Shchiach Kitre. Because in the month of Nisan, so you do have clouds and you do have rain, and it could very well be that even according to our Tana and according to the Tana Kama of the Brisa, even when you are renting it for, when you're starting the rental in the month of Nisan, the assumption is that it's not just for 1 month because there is going to be rain coming down even in the month of Nisan as well. Be'echad be'elo Rosh Hashanah l'maisa behema. After an extraordinarily long discussion regarding the very first line of the Mishnah, right, we have so far covered one line of the Mishnah going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Arba Rosh Hashanah Mehem Be'echad Be'Nisan Rosh Hashanah Melachim L'Regalim. And so from Daf Beis to where we are right now in Zayin Amud Beis. So we have been discussing the first as it relates to the month of Nisan, both in terms of Melachim, both in terms of Regalim. And today's Daf is really focused on other firsts that are related to Nisan and just questions in terms of why they didn't make it into our Mishnah. But now, after all said and done, we're ready to move on. And we're going on to the second first of the Mishnah, the second Rosh Hashanah. And that's the first day of Ella. First day of Ella is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. And it's a machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say no, that it's not the first of Ella, but rather it's the first of Tishrei. So the Gemara over here, before explaining the machlokas, we're going to do that in tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara over here starts off with a technical question. So money, Rabbi Merihi. As far as the opening of the Mishnah, let's not start with the opening. Let us start with this line of the Mishnah, that Be'echad Be'elo is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. So that's Rabbi Meir. How do I know that? The Mishnah doesn't mention Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, yeah, but we have a Braisa. So, did not Rabbi, or it's a Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Omer Bechad Be'elo, Rosh Hashanah Maisa Behema. Sorry, it's a Mishnah Becharos. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Beferish, that Echad Be'elo is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema, is the position of Rabbi Meir. So, Ula Regala Mani, now when you go on to the first part of the Mishnah, so that's Rabbi Shimon, as we already established all the way back in Dav Dalin. And then when you move on in the Mishnah, so by Maisa Behema, so immediately after presenting the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, then it goes and gives us the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that Maisa Behema is not the first day of Elul, but rather the first day of Tishrei. And basically now, Reish of Sefer Rabbi Shimon and Siyasa Rabbi Meir, the Gemara is bothered by the choppiness of the Mishnah. because the first psak of the Mishnah, regalim, that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. The next psak of the Mishnah is Maaser Behema being Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Then the Mishnah brings in the next shita of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, emphasis on Rabbi Shimon, who says that it is the first day of Tishrei, not Elul in terms of Maaser Behema. So basically the Mishnah went from Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Meir back to Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says that's choppy. So I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi. So Rav Yosef says that the shita of the Mishnayos are really the shitas of Rabbi. So Rashi, who Amar Lemes Nisan, meaning he's the author of the Mishnah. And what he's doing is that regarding various issues, so he has different shitas as it relates to different issues. And back to the Gemara, Venasiv Le'alibet to Tanayim. Beregalim Savala Karebi Shimon. As far as Yantuf is concerned, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. And V'mais Behemah Savala Kareb Meir. And as far as Mais Behemah is concerned, he goes like Rabbi Meir. So Yahachi Arba'a Chamisha Havu. So the Gemara says, good. So now that we explain the quote-unquote choppiness of the Mishnah, the Gemara now wants to go with the accounting of the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us the major headline that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. After having gone through the Mishnah, they're not four Rosh Hashanahs, they're actually five Rosh Hashanahs. It did take me more than a moment to figure out what does that mean there are five Rosh Hashanahs in the Mishnah. How did we get to number five? So it goes like this. The first Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Nisan, which is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim. The second Rosh Hashanah is Regalim, because remember, Regalim doesn't start on the first day of Nisan. Regalim starts when you hit Pesach, the 15th day of Nisan. So truth of the matter is that in Nisan you have two Rosh Hashanahs. Then you have the first day of Elul, according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, you have the first day of Tishrei. And then you have either the first day of Shvat or the 15th day of Shvat. So the Gemara now notes that if you count it up, so you're going to get to five. Now, it depends who you hold like, but the Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. So how does the Mishnah get away with saying that there are four Rosh Hashanahs when really there are five? Chamisha Abu. So Amar Ava Arba L'Divrei HaKol. So the Gemara says like this. No. In other words, when you go and take each shita in of itself, it comes out to four. How does that so? The Rameir Arba, according to the Rishita Rameir, that comes out to four. Why? Because Dal Regalim, because Regal is not there for Rabbi Meir. You remember back on Daf Dalet, we said that according to Rabbi Meir, once you passed one Yontif, so you're in violation of Bate Acher. So for him, there is no idea of three Regalim, certainly not three Regalim in a row. So that just simply is taken out of the Mishnah. And so therefore, for Rabbi Meir, it is five, but five minus one, it's four. And the Rabbi Shimon, Arba, and even according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, it comes out to four as well, because Dal Maaser Behema. Because remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, Maaser Behema Rosh Chodesh is going to be, I'm sorry, Maaser Behema Rosh Hashanah is going to be the first day of Tishrei, which now means that there is no first day of Elul according to Rabbi Shimon, so now it also becomes five minus one, it's four. Okay, so basically answer number one is that if you look at individual shitas, there really are four Rosh Hashanahs. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Nachman, Yitzhak Amar Arba Chadashim, Uvahem Kama Rosh Hashanim. Another approach in terms of understanding the header of our Mishnah, that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. What the Mishnah means is that there are 4 months in which there are Rosh Hashanahs in those 4 months. Okay, Meisve. So the Gemara says, okay, but we do have another Brisa. And the Brisa is going to introduce us to two more Rosh Hashanahs. Now again, the word Rosh Hashanah over here just simply means first of the years. There's initiations. And that is Shisha Asar B'Nisan, Rosh Hashanah La'Omer, 16th day of Nisan, so that's the Rosh Hashanah regarding Omer. Barley cannot be eaten prior to the bringing of the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach, but once that all Karban Omer is brought, so now a point in time now where you're allowed to eat new grains. Furthermore, Shisha B'Sivan, Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. Also, as far as grains are concerned, to be brought to the base of Mikdash, so no menachos can be brought from last year's grains until you bring the Shtei Alechem. So vis-a-vis the Shtei Alechem, it also represents the first. So the Karban Omer brought on the second day of Pesach, the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos. So that is two new Rosh Hashanahs that we're introducing, at least according to the Braisa. So now what comes out is La Rava Lisne Shisha. So according to Rava now, it should be six, meaning four. Again, according to Rava, you're going to just stick with one Shita. Doesn't matter which Shita it is, whether it's Rav Meir or whether it's Rabbi Shimon. It's going to be four, but then add on another two that we just learned together in the Braisa. Should now come out to six. And the Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lisne Chamisha. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so we're looking for the number of months that have Rosh Hashanah. So it's true that the second day of Pesach is the month of Nisan, and the month of Nisan is already included in the Mishnah. Fine. But there still is the 6th day of Sivan, otherwise known as Shavuos, where you have the Shtei Alechem. That's another month. That's a whole new month. And so that means there should be 5. So whether you give Rava's answer, whether you give Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's answer, so the number should not be 4. It should be either 6 or it should be 5, whether you hold like Rava or Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Amra Papa Ki Kachashim Midi Dechayel Me Ursa. Midi Delochayel Me Ursa Lo Kachashiv. So the Gemara now is going to try to distinguish in terms of what's being counted in the Mishnah, what's not being counted in the Mishnah. Rav Papa suggests over here that anything that starts at the night, so that is going to be counted in our Mishnah. But that which does not start at the night, meaning the bringing of the Omer and the bringing of the She'alechem, so that cannot be done at night. Those are karbanos that can only be offered in the morning, so they're not going to be counted. So Gemara says, V'ari regalim delo chaylami ortavika chashiv. So what about the regalim and Baal Te'acher? So, and right now the Gemara's thinking explains Rashi, that the Isser of Baal Te'acher is only going to be violated when you get to the morning of that third Yantiv. Then and only then is one going to be in violation of Baal Te'acher, because that was your first opportunity that you could have brought the carbon. Albeit now delinquent, but that's what the Gemara thinks. The Gemara says, no, you're wrong. Kevin Shasarach La'asuyim Meikar Mechai V'kai. So the Gemara says, no, Baal Te'acher, one is violating even the night of. Because remember, what is Baal Te'acher? Baal Te'acher tells me that you should have brought it beforehand. So once you get to the Yantiv, meaning the evening of the Yantiv, it's at that point in time that you are now in delinquency and you are now in violation of Baal Te'acher. The Hari Yovlo, so the Chalei Me'orta V'Kachashiv. So the Gemara says, now as far as Yovlo is concerned, so Yovlo doesn't start at night, and meanwhile Yovlo is being counted. At this point in time, the Gemara thinks that Yovlo over here is starting on the Yom Kippur, and it's at this point in time that the Gemara believes that the Yovel is only going to be coming with the Tekiva Shofar, and the Tekiva Shofar can only be done during the day. So, if you're telling me that the only thing that's counted in the Mishnah, only thing those things that start at night, well, Yovel shouldn't be counted. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Shmuel, Beno Shol Rabbi Yochanan Broki, Damar Mir Shoshana, Chal Yovel. So Machlok is that we're going to see in more detail in tomorrow's Daf. There is a Shita that Yovel actually begins on the Rosh Hashanah of the Yovel year, not the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. More to be discussed in that. In tomorrow's daf, but meanwhile, so that means that it's going to start even Me'orta will start even in the evening. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Amar Kika Chashiv Midi Delo Tali B'Maisa. The Gemara is going to give another suggestion in terms of why our Mishnah are not taking these two into consideration, meaning the second day of Pesach, the Karban Omer, and the 6th day of Sivan, the Shtei Alechem that's Boron Shavuot. So why aren't they counted? So the Gemara gives another approach, and that's the approach of Rav Shisha Breder of Idi. And that is that what are we counting? Midi de lo talib emaisa, something that is not dependent on an action. Midi de talib emaisa lo kachashu, but something dependent on an action, so that's not going to be considered, that's not going to be counted. So in other words, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, so it's true that they are first and they are initiations, but they're only a first when you bring the carbon. So, and if you don't bring the carbon, so they don't represent a first, and so they're talib emaisa. And we're looking at things that happen automatically. So the Gemara says, is that right? Is that true? The Vahare Regalim, he did the Talib and Maisa. What about Yamim Tovim? And Baal Te'acher, isn't that a Maisa? The Gemara says, no, just the opposite. I'm sorry, Vika Chashiv? So the Gemara says, no, Baal Te'acher, Mimela Chayo. No, the Gemara says, just the opposite. Baal Te'acher happens automatically. Meaning the Baal Te'acher is the fact that you did not bring your carbon in its proper time. So it's exactly for the inactivity that one violates Baal Te'acher. That's why Regalim made it into the list. So the Gemara says, Vahare Yovlos. So once again, the Gemara is assuming right now that we're talking about Yovel as it connects itself to Yom Kippur. And right now, the Gemara is thinking that in order for Yovel to take effect, you need to blow on the shofar. Again, more of this to be discussed in tomorrow's daf. But right now, it needs a Maisa. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokihi. So the Gemara says, no, it could be that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan. And that means to say that we're looking at Yovel as it falls out on Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur, and therefore it's not Tola B'Tzkiya. Again, more of this to be discussed in tomorrow's daf. Good. That is answer number 2. And answer number 3. Answer number 3, in terms of why it is that our Mishnah only mentions that there are 4 Rosh Hashanahs, when meanwhile there seems to be more. So Rav Ashi Amar Abba Rosh Hashanim Heim Shehin Ba'arba Rosh Chadashim. So what we're looking at over here is that our Mishnah's header of 4 Rosh Hashanahs, yes, 4 Rosh Hashanahs, 4 Rosh Hashanahs, where they occur on the first day of the month, meaning it's Rosh Hashanah that coordinates with the Rosh Chodesh. So the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan, So that is the Rosh Hashanah of Malachim. Now, granted, Regalim is on the 15th, but in terms of the header, explaining the header, we are looking for those months which have a Rosh Hashanah and a Rosh Chodesh, and they coincide. So that explains the first month of the first day of Nisan, the first day of Elul, according to Rabbi Meir, the first day of Tishrei, and here we get to the funny part. And the Gemara is going to ask in just a moment. And the first day of Shvat, yeah, it's true. The first day of Shvat is a Rosh Hashanah, but only according to Beis Shammai, which brings us to the Gemara's next question. So Be'echa B'Shvat ke Beis Shammai. So what do you mean? Meaning that is an explanation of the header, but only if we subscribe to the Shita Beis Shammai, and we don't subscribe to the Shita Beis Shammai. So Hachi Kamer Shloshel LeDivrei Hakol Be'echa B'Shvat Machlokus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So this is how to understand the header. When the Mishnah says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, so three of them are not subject to a dispute, but one of them is. One of them is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay. Good. So that is different, various explanations in terms of why Mishnah says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, when meanwhile, it seems to be that there are significantly more than four Rosh Hashanahs. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf. Quick question that started off the daf in terms of how to count the year of an animal. Bechor has to be eaten within its first year, should be eaten within its first year. So when do I count it from? That's from the time that it's born or from the time that it's eligible to be brought as a karban? Seemingly a machlokus. The Gemara says it's not a machlokus. It depends whether it's born with or without a mom. Our big discussion on Zainam and Aleph is that we have a brisa that describes Nisan as being the first for numerous other actions, numerous other activities. It's significant in three, possibly a fourth way. Number one, in terms of counting the months, where Nisan's the first month of the year. In terms of Iber, meaning it's going to be the deadline where after the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I cannot go ahead and add an Adar for the previous year, even though we felt it was necessary, it's simply too late. And finally, Truma Shkalim, when offering the Machitzes HaShekel for public Karbanos, so that has to be brought so that the operations can be done, the financial operations can start on the first day of Nisan. And then some add to that list also Schir's Batim. The house rentals, where if I say that I'm renting for this season, for this year, so that's going to end on Nisan. So what the Gemara did over the course of the Amud Aleph of today's Daf is just simply define these four items and gave an explanation for each one of them in terms of why our Mishnah did not count any of these four. That took us well into the Amud Beis. That took up the totality of Zayin Amud Aleph and a chunk of Amud Beis as well. Last thing that we discussed in today's daf is the heading of our Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and meanwhile there are more than four Rosh Hashanahs, especially when you consider a Brisa, the Brisa that tells us that there's a Rosh Hashanah in the month of Nisan, i.e. the 16th day, where now that's going to be the beginning for grains, all the old grains of the Yashan, the grains prior to the bringing of the Karban Omer were Chadash, now they're Yashan. And the sixth day of Sivan, where we bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, so that's going to be now a Haschalah for the year in terms of our ability to bring last year's grains on the Mizbech, meaning all Menachos now could be brought from the old grains. The Shtei Alechem is the Matir. So those are also first as well. So how come our Mishnah is telling us that there are only four Rosh Hashanahs, when meanwhile there could be upwards of six Rosh Hashanahs? That's where the Gemara takes us for the remaining part of today's daf. And the Gemara gives multiple suggestions in terms of how the number legitimately is four and not anything greater than four.